Good.
So the Rosh Hashanah-thon continues from the Mizrahi Bet Midrash in Melbourne, Australia, and we are on Daf Kaf Dalet at the top of the Amud Aleph. And we quote from the Mishnah, which talks about the questions that were asked to the witnesses, Kama haya gavoa ula'an haya noter v'chule. How high was it, and in which direction was it facing? So we start by saying there's a dispute between two braitot, Tana chada letzfona devarav kayamim. One Tana says that if the witness said that it's on to the north, then his words are accepted. Ledroma lo amar klum. And if he says it's to the south, he hasn't said anything. In other words, that's not true. V'hatanya ibcha. But we've also learned in a braita the other way round, namely ledroma devarav kayamim. In the south, his words are accepted. Letzfona lo amar klum. But if he says it's in the north, he hasn't said anything. Lo kasha. It's not a problem. Kam biyamot hachama, kam biyamot hagashamim. One of them is talking about the summer, and one of them is talking about the winter. Now, there's a very long Rashi explaining what's going on here. And the only slight problem with this Rashi is it doesn't conform to our own observations. And even Art Scroll says we are not able to understand the holy words of Rashi. So we will not follow his explanation. But there is another explanation, which is very simple. The problem is, and what Rashi tries to fit in, is he learns that we're talking about, is it north or south of the sun? And the problem is that, as we talked about yesterday, the new moon is never to the north of the sun. It's always on the south side. But if we say it's not talking about north and south in relation to the sun, we can understand it as follows, that the sun and the moon behind it in the northern hemisphere, in the summer, goes from northeast to northwest, and in the winter, goes from southeast to southwest. That's actually a bit of a simplification, because that would only apply if one's in the tropics. If one's north of the tropics, like Israel, really, the sun is always going from the southeast to the southwest, but it's a bit more northerly in the summer and a bit more southerly in the winter. Anyway, therefore, the moon follows a similar trajectory. And in the summer, the moon goes from northeast to northwest. And in the winter, it goes from southeast to southwest. So that could be an explanation of this resolution here. In the summer, if you say it's in the north, that's correct. And if you say it's in the south, that's incorrect. And in the winter, it's the other way around. Now we continue with another brighter. Six lines down. Tana Rabbanan. Echad omer gavoa bet mardaot, ve'echad omer gimel. One says, in terms of how high was it in the sky, one says it was two mardaot, which is a goad, which is the piece of wood which is put on top of a cow when it's ploughing, and it's got a certain known measurement. And so if it was two goads high, and the other witness said it was three goads high, edoton kayemem. That's close enough. Because between two and three, you can make an honest mistake. Echad omer gimel ve'echad omer hey. One says it was three and one says it was five. Eidut umbetela. That's eidut which does not correspond. Three and five, you're talking about two different scenarios, so you don't have two people saying the same thing. However, aval mitstarfim le'eidut acheret. But either of them, the one who says three or the one who says five, can join to another witness who says the same as them. And the chiddush there, the point is that we don't say these witnesses are lying and therefore they can never be accepted as witnesses under any other circumstances. We don't say they're lying, but we do say their eidut together does not correspond, but either of them could match up with another witness. Tana Rabbanan, another writer, talks about what witnesses might say. Ra'inuhu ba'mayim, we saw it in the water, in other words, we saw the reflection of the moon. Ra'inuhu ba'asasit, we saw it through a lantern, we saw it through some distorting glass. Ra'inuhu ba'avim, we saw it through the clouds. Ein me'idim alav, that doesn't count. That's not called testimony, you have to see the moon with your own eyes. Chatzio b'mayim, we saw half of it in the water. Now the implication is, the other half we saw in the sky. Chatzio ba'avim, half of it in the clouds. Chatzio ba'asasit, half of it through a lantern. Ein me'idim alav, that also doesn't count as eidut. In which case the Gemara says, Hashta kulo amarta, you've already said that if you see all of it in the water, that doesn't count. Chatzio miboile, So if you see half of it in the water, you're telling me that also doesn't count? Why do we need to be told that? Eila haki kama. But this is what the second verse, second part of the braisa means. Chatzio b'mayim, chatzio b'rakia. If you saw half of it in the water and you saw half of it in the sky. Chatzio b'aviv, chatzio b'rakia. Half of it in the clouds and half of it in the sky. Chatzio b'asasit, chatzio b'rakia. Half through a lantern, half in the sky. You might think that's good enough. That's better than all of it in the water or the clouds, etc. Nevertheless, ein me'idim. That still doesn't count. You have to see all of it directly in the sky.
Can I ask, do the same witnesses have to answer every question, or they might get the first two right? Like, you said yesterday that
the first two witnesses.
That they were, they have to say front or behind.
Yeah,
they keep getting asked questions until they get it wrong, and then you move to the next set.
No, until they've asked all the questions. My understanding is they do ask all the questions that we learned in the Mishnah.
So you get a different set of Adim getting through all eight questions, let's say.
Yes, but you only need one set of Adim to get through all the questions consistently, and it's done.
Oh, does it have to be the same two Adim? That's the
question. Yes, so A and B come in. You ask all the questions to A. You ask A and B came as a set.
Yeah.
And you ask all the questions to A, then you ask all the questions to B. If they don't agree, then you move on to A, D, and C, and D. But if they do agree, right, you've done it.
Yeah.
And then we learned in the Brisa that in the Mishnah, you ask a few questions to everybody else to make them feel good about it, but you don't actually need them. Does that answer your question?
Yeah, sort of. Yeah.
Sort of.
Yeah. Okay. As if A and B get answered questions 1 to 3 right...
But 4 to 6wrong. No, doesn't count.
Right. So C and D... still have to
answer 1 to 8.
1 to 8 right again. They start the whole process again.
Yes. Okay. Tanu Rabbanan. Ra'inuhu, v'shuv lo ra'inuhu. We saw it, and then we didn't see it. Ein me'idim alav. That doesn't count as eidut. Now, which the Gemara says, kol haki chazu leva azli. That, does that mean they need to see it and continuously? They need to see it and it can never go away? That's ridiculous. Amar Abaya, haki kama. Abaya says this is what the braisa means. Ra'inuhu me'aleinu. We saw it by itself. In other words, it like just appeared, like we glanced at it. V'shavnu liroto, and then we returned to see it mida'atenu, with an engaged mind. V'lo ra'inuhu, and we didn't see it. Ein me'idim alav, that doesn't count. So that what it means is we saw it, we glanced and we saw it, and then we like looked carefully for it and we couldn't see it. My timer, why does that not count? Emor kochvita de iva ba'alma hu dechazi. We could say maybe it was just the crescent shape of the cloud that they saw. So if they're not sure, if they didn't see the moon intently and carefully, then we can't be sure they saw it.
So I have one last question. We just learned that if we said with seeing half and not seeing the other half, I can understand the question that the Mishnah asks. But then the question is, why do you need to ask if the full reflection is seen, why do you need that question at all?
Yeah.
If you can't see half, then surely if you see the whole reflection, that for sure is not valid. Other way around, almost.
It turns out when it says you can't see half, that means half in the water, half in the sky.
I understand why
so, so why didn't it teach the bigger chiddush, the smaller chiddush first? Yes, you could have learned out the bigger chiddush. Okay, I don't know. Okay, good question. Okay, the next Mishnah says, middle of Kaftan and Ramadalov, Rosh Bet Din Omer Makudash, V'chola Am Onin Acharav Makudash. So once they've been through the witnesses, and they've found the witnesses that correlate, and they declare the new moon has been seen, the head of the Bet Din announces with the word Mekudesh, it is sanctified. And everyone answers, Acharav, Mekudesh, Mekudesh, sanctified, sanctified. Now, the first opinion of the Mishnah says, Bein Shenira Bismano, Bein Shelo Nira Bismano. Whether it's seen on its time, which is the 30th day of the old month. So remember, every month has 29 days. The next day is maybe the 30th of the old month, or maybe it's the first of the new month. And if it's not seen on the 30th, then for sure it comes on the 31st. If it's seen on the 30th, that's called seeing Bismano in its time. And that makes that day no longer the 30th, but the first of the new month. So if it's seen on the 30th, that's called Bismano, then you announce that it's Mekudesh. Bein Shalonia Rebbe's Mano, whether it's not seen on in its time on the 30th, according to Tanna Kamma, according to the first opinion of the Mishnah, you still Mekadshin Oto, you still sanctify it, you go through the process and you say Mekudash. However, Rabbi Elazar and Rabbi Sadak Omer, Im Lo Nireh Bizmano, Ein Mekadshin Oto. If it's not seen on the 30th, which means it will be seen on the 31st, but you don't need to go through the process of sanctifying it, Shekavar Kitshuhu Shamayim, because heaven has already sanctified it. In other words, if it's not going to come on the 30th, which means it will come on the 31st, then the Bet Din doesn't need to say, whoa, this is Rosh Chodesh, because, as it were, Shemayim's already done that. So, the Gemara says, Rosh Bet Din, etc., starts by the beginning of the Mishnah. Mana Hanemili. From where do we learn that the Rosh Bet Din says Mekudosh? Amar Rabbi Chia Vagamda, Amar Rabbi Yossi Ben Shor, Amar Rabbi, Amar Kra. So, that line of Tanayim says, in the name of the Pasuk, Vayedaber Moshe et Moadei Hashem. Moshe declared the appointed times of Hashem. Mikan Shirosh Bedin Omar Mekudesh. So we learn from this, just as Moshe had to make this declaration, so in our day, the head of the Bet Din makes the declaration and says it's sanctified. Then the Mishnah said, V'chol ha'am onin acharav Mekudesh Mekudesh. All the people answer afterwards, sanctified, sanctified. Min alon, how do we know that? Amar Rav Papa, Amar Kra. Rav Papa says, but the Pasuk says, Asher tikra'u otam, which you shall call them. That's what the Pasuk says about the Moadim. However, Karibe Atem. The word Otam can be read as Atem for the sake of the Drasha. So it would be read as Asher Tikra'u Atem, which you shall call, you the people. So you the people have to say Mekudesh Mekudesh. Rav Nachman by Yitzchak Omar, Rav Nachman by Yitzchak learns from a different Pasuk. Ela Hem Moadai. These are they, the Moadim. Oh, sorry, my Moadim. But we can read it in a different way for the sake of the drasha. Ela, these, heim yomru moadai. These are the ones that you will say are my festivals. So the heim is short for heim yomru. They will say. So the people have to do their bit and say Mekudesh. Then the Gemara says, it's not just Mekudesh. Mekudesh, Mekudesh, trei zimne lameli. Why do they have to say Mekudesh two times? Dichtiv, because the Pasuk says, Mikra'e Kodesh. Mikra'e is plural. Holy convocations, plural, implies there's a calling of Kedusha twice. Now, we said in the Mishnah, there was a machloket between Tanna Kamma, who says this process is undergone whether the moon is seen on the 30th or not. And Rabbi Elazar ben Rabbi Sadak says only if it's seen on the 30th, but not seen on the 30th and only seen on the 31st. So we quote that part of the Mishnah, Rabbi Elazar ben Sadak omer im lo nireh bizmano im mekadshin oto. Tanya. So we learn in the Braisa, there's another opinion. Plimo omer. Somebody called Plimo says, bizmano ein mekadshin oto. If it's seen on the 30th, you don't mekadish it. You don't say mekudash. Shalo bizmano mekadshin oto. But if it's seen on the 31st, if it's not seen on the 30th, you do mekadish it. So the precise opposite of Rabbi Elazar ben Rabbi Sadak. And Rashi says, because the basis of Plimo's opinion is it needs chizuk if it's seen on the 31st. If it's seen on the 30th, which is bizmano, then it doesn't need extra strengthening. But if you have to wait till the 31st, then you have to like help it along and say Mekudesh. Continues the Braita, Rabbi Eliezer, Rabbi Shimon, Omer, Ben Kach u Ben Kach, ein Mekadshin oto. Rabbi Eliezer, Rabbi Shimon takes the opposite view, that you don't Mekadesh it at all. Shenema. Because the Pasuk says, V'kidashtem et shanat ha-chamishim, regarding the Yovel year, you will sanctify the 50th year, from which Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Shimon learns, Shanim atamakadesh, V'i atamakadesh chadashim. You sanctify years, but you don't sanctify months. So basically, we've got all four opinions. You sanctify neither, both, one and not the other, or the other and not the one. You've got all four opinions covered. Amar Rabbi Yehuda, Amar Shmuel, so what is the halacha? Rabbi Yehuda says of Amar Shmuel, halacha ker Rabbi Elazar ben Rabbi Sadak. Halacha is like Rabbi Elazar ben Rabbi Sadak, who says, you sanctify it if it appears on the 30th, but not if it appears on the 31st. Amar Abaya says, af anan nami tanina. We've learned the same thing, bless you, bless you. We've learned the same thing in the Mishnah. that we actually, there's a support in the Mishnah for the, another Mishnah, the one we're going to learn later. It's a support for, this other Mishnah is a support for the opinion of Rabbi Eliezer of Risada, that we announce it, we say Mekodesh on the 30th, but not on the 31st. Because that other Mishnah says, Ra'ohu Beit Din v'chol Yisrael, the Beit Din saw it, and so did all the Jewish people, Nechrako ha'edim, so you start investigating the witnesses, V'lo hispiku lomar Mekodesh ad shahasheicha. And they didn't have time to say Mekodesh until it went dark. So they've spent the whole 30th day, and they haven't got round to say Mekodesh, and they've missed it. The 30th day has passed. Harei zeh mu'ubar. So the month is lengthened, which means Rosh Chodesh is on the 31st day. Even though it was actually seen on the 30th, but they didn't finish the witness investigation. Says Abaya, we imply it from that Mishnah, Mu'ubar in Mekodesh Lo. It is a lengthened month, but it's not a sanctified month. So we see that if the moon is only verified on the 31st, we don't do the Kiddush HaChodesh, we don't sanctify it. Says the Gemara, not necessarily. Maybe that diuk, that it is lengthened, it's not sanctified, is not the correct diuk. Because maybe the Mishnah is coming, is phrased in such a way for a different reason. It's Tarichale, maybe we need it, Salkadat Chamina, because you might have thought, Ha'ilvaru'uhu Beitin v'chol Yisrael ifarsama. You might have thought, since the Mishnah is talking about a case where the Beit Din saw it, and all the Jews saw it, it's already been publicized on the 30th day, v'lo li'avruha, and they don't need to extend the month. Because even though we didn't quite finish the process on the 30th day, everyone knows the new moon was seen on the 30th day. So it would be a 29-day month and not a 30-day month. Kamash Malam, that comes to teach you that's not the case. But if they haven't finished investigating the witnesses, they can't declare it the 30th day to be the first of a new month. They have to wait till the following day. So that's what the Mishnah comes to teach you, not to teach you the diuk that Re'avaya offers to say, Ma'ubar in Mekudash Lo. It is lengthened, it's not sanctified. No, that's not the right way to read the Mishnah, and therefore we don't have a support to prove that the halacha is like Rabbi Eliezer Bar Sadok, but nevertheless, that's what we've learned in the name of Shmuel. Next Mishnah. Damot Tzurot Lavana Hayu Lo L'Rabbi Gamliel Batavla. Rabbi Gamliel had images of the forms of the moon on a tablet, like an iPad or something. That's like a joke. Ubekotel, and on the wall, ba'aliyato, in his attic. Shebehen mare et hehedyotot, which he would show to the unlearned people, va'amar, and he would say, ha'kezer ita ukezer. Did you see the moon like this shape or like this shape? In other words, he had pictures of various stages of the moon in various places, and he would point to them and say, did you see it like this or like this? Now, there's a long discussion in the Gemara about how is this proper. Is it proper for Rabbi Gamliel to draw pictures of the moon? Umi Shari, says the Gemara, is that permitted? V'achtiv. And we've learned in a pasuk, in the pasuk that comes straight after the Aseret HaDibrot, Lo ta'asun iti, you shall not make with me. You shall not make images of things with me. And we darshan and we say, Lo ta'asun kudumot shimshai, you can't make images of the things that serve me in heaven, i.e. the sun and the moon. So that's the problem. How can Rabbi Gamliel make pictures of the moon? Amar Abaya comes to answer and says, Lo asra Torah ela shimashim she'efsha la'asot kamotan. When the halacha said you can't make images of things with Hashem, they meant images of things which you could actually make for yourself. And it's going to be things like bits of the Beit Mikdash, which you can manufacture for yourself. It doesn't refer to images of the sun and moon, which you can't make for yourself. So they are not prohibited from being drawn. So what do we mean by things which are efshala asot kamotam? Things that you are able to make like them. Kedatanya, like the Braisa says, Lo yasa adam bayit tavnit heichel. A man shouldn't make his house like the image of the sanctuary, like shaped and designed like the Beit Mikdash. Achsadra tavnit olam. And you can't make the courtyard, no, the balcony, like the ulam, like the sanctuary, the inner hall of the Bet Mikdash. Chatzer keneged azara. You can't make your courtyard in the shape of the courtyard of the Bet Mikdash. Shulchan keneged shulchan. You can't make a table like the shulchan that was in the Bet Mikdash. Menorah keneged menorah. You can't make a menorah like the menorah. Aval, but just on the menorah, there's a little bit of a catch. As oser shel chamisha v'shel shisha v'shel shemona. You can make a menorah with five branches or six branches or eight branches. V'shel shiva lo yaseh, but not of seven branches. And afilu shel shah minei metochot. And even if you make the menorah out of other metals, other than gold, you still can't do it. So all this, by the way, we're going off a little bit of a tangent, and we're going to carry on for the next few lines a bit of a tangent, but is to say, in defense of Abaya, in defense of Rabbi Gamliel, that the prohibition is of making pictures or images or replicas of things in the Bet Mikdash, it's not a problem to make pictures of things in the sky. But we continue with this thing about what type of menorah can't you make. So we just said Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Yehuda, Amar, Afshal Eitz lo Ya'aseh. Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Yehuda says you can't even make the menorah out of wood. Now you might have thought you can make it out of wood because it's not gold. The menorah was made out of gold. So we've just said you can't make it out of other metals. And now Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Yehuda says you can't even make it out of wood. You might have thought you could. Why not? You can't make it out of wood. Kederech she'asu malchei bet chashmonai. Because making it out of wood is the way that the Chashmonaim made it. When they went into the Bet Mikdash and cleared it out of the Hellenist desecration, they made a menorah in an ad hoc fashion out of wood. And that counted as a menorah, so that's why we can't make a menorah out of wood, because that could be used as the real thing. Omru lo, they said to Rabbi Yosef, Rabbi Yehuda, Misham Raya, is that a proof that you can't make it out of wood because you think the Chashmonaim made theirs out of wood? That's not true. Shpudim shel barzu haya. They made it out of spits of iron. V'chipum baba eitz. And they covered it with tin. Ha'ashiru. And when they got richer, asa'um shel kesef. They made it out of silver. Or they, v'chazru v'ashiru. And they came even richer, asa'um shel zahav. And they made it out of gold. So, We don't take this any further because it's not really what we're talking about, but it turns out there isn't a proof that you can't make it out of wood. Anyway, what we've learned is the prohibition of making images doesn't refer to the sun and moon, so Rabbi Gamliel's all right. But then we say, V'shemashin she'ief shala asod kamotan mishari. So Abaya said, images of things that you can't make for yourself, like sun and moon, are okay to draw. Then we say, is that the case? Who permitted that? V'hatanya, we've learned in a brighter. Lo ta'asun iti. The Mishnah, the Pasuk says, you shall not make with me. Lo ta'asun kedumot shimshai hamashamshim lafanai bamarom. You can't make images of things that serve me up in the sky. Or I'm translating that deliberately as in the sky, but bamarom usually means in the heavens. So we see that Abaya's not on the mark, because we have a brisa that says nothing in the sky can be made images of. Omer Abaya comes to the rescue again. Lo asra Torah ela demut arba panim bahade hadadi. When the Torah says you can't make images of things that are in the sky with Hashem, it's referring to the four-faced chariot, which we read about in the book of Yechezkel. And that's what the things that you can't make images of. The thing with four faces together. Now, if that's the case, that raises a question. Adam tishtari. Then Abaya will be saying, it's only the four faces together of the four different things that appeared in this image of Yechezkel that you can't make an image of, but a human face, which by the way was one of the four faces on the chariot, you could make, according to Abaya, because it's not the four together. Alma Tanya, but we've learned in Abraisa, Kol ha-paratzufaf mutarin chutz mi-paratzuf Adam. You can make images of faces except for the face of man. So we have a contradiction. Abaya said the only thing you can't make is the four faces together. And now we have a brisa that says you can't make a face of man. Amar Rav Huna, Berei de Rav Idi, Rav Huna, the son of Rav Idi, says, Mipirkei de Abaya. From literally the chapters of Abaya, i.e. the Shiurim of Abaya, Shamir Li, I heard, Lota Asuniti, you cannot make with me is darshan to read as lota asun oti. You can't make me. Hashem is saying you can't make an image of Hashem. And that, what is an image of Hashem? Well, this is a very interesting topic, and I'm sure there's a lot to say on this. Hashem obviously has no form. It's one of the Ikrei Amunah, one of the principles of faith, that Hashem has no human form. But poetically and metaphorically, he is described in human terms. So when we read the pasuk that says, Lota Asun Iti, and we darshan it as Lota Asun Oti, you cannot make me, you cannot make images of me, you can't make human images, because human images are sometimes used metaphorically to represent Hashem. So even a buyer would agree that as well as the four-faced image you can't make, you also can't make the image of humans, as the Brisa says. So we're still okay for Rabbi Gamliel, because Abaya is still explaining the halacha as permitting images of the sun and moon. However, the Gemara comes back. V'shar shem Hashem mishari, the other servants of Hashem, i.e. the sun and moon, who permitted them? Who permitted you to make images of them? V'hatanya, we've learned in another brisa, lo ta'asun iti, lo ta'asun kidumot shem shai hamasham shem lefanai b'maram. Another brisa says, you can't make images of me, you can't make images of my servants that serve me in the heavens. Sounds like you can't make pictures of the moon. Kugon ofanim v'serafim v'chayat ha-kodesh o malachei ha-sharet. This is all part of the brisa. The brisa says the various heavenly bodies, which are ofanim v'serafim v'chayat ha-kodesh and malachei ha-sharet, angels and seraphs and various other things that we don't understand what they are and certainly the distinction between them, but various heavenly bodies. Now, the presumption at this point is that means all heavenly bodies, and malachei ha-sharet, etc., are just examples, and that would include, in the prohibition, the moon. So we're back to attacking Rabbi Gamliel. Amar Abaya, it's Abaya again, who comes to restrict the prohibition to save Rabbi Gamliel. Lo asra Torah ele shamashim sheba mador ha'elyon. Only forbade images of things which are of the highest level of heaven. So there are different levels of heaven. And Abaya says we're only prohibited to make images of the Malachei Asharet, the ministering angels and the various heavenly bodies which exist in the highest level, excluding the things which exist in the lower levels, i.e. the sun and the moon. So Abaya says the sun and the moon are okay. Mm-hmm. Along comes the Gemara and says, Sheba Mador HaTachton Mishari, are you sure the ones in the lower level of heaven, sun and moon, who permitted them? V'hatanya, and we've learned in a brayta that you can't make things asher bashamayim. This actually comes from the second of the Ten Commandments itself, where it says don't make any images which are in heaven. And there the brayta says explicitly, l'rabot chama v'lavona kochavim u'mazalot, to include the sun and the moon, the stars and the constellations. And then the pasuk says, mima'al, which are above, that is l'rabot malachei ha-sharet. That is to include the angels. So we now have a brisa which says explicitly, no images of the moon. The Gemara responds by saying, kitanya hahi la'avdam. That brisa is not talking about making pictures of them, but actually making them, making idols of them. Serving them. It's not about making pictures of them, it's about serving them. You can't serve pictures of these heavenly bodies. You can draw them, so Rabbi Gamliel's all right, but you can't serve them. Then the Gemara challenges that. I don't think it means you can't serve them, because Ila Avdam, if it would mean you can't serve them, why is the list limited? If it means you can't serve them, it just means you can't serve the sun and the moon and the stars and the constellations. Afilu shilshul katan nami. It should say you can't even serve a little worm, because you can't serve anything other than Hashem. You can't deify and idolize anything other than Hashem, even a shilshul katan, a little worm. So we're rejecting the idea that the second commandment is to exclude serving the sun and moon and allows you to make pictures of the sun and moon. It can't mean that, because if it's talking about things you can't serve, the list is much, much more comprehensive. even down to a little worm. So it looks like the second commandment is about not making images. And we're back to the kasha on Rabbi Gamliel. The Gemara replies about this little worm, Einach inami, that's true. It's true you can't serve a little worm, Ditanya, because we've learned in another brisa, Asher ba'aretz, having said you can't do something to things which are in the heaven above. And it also says, Asher ba'aretz, which are in the earth, l'rabot harim v'gavot, yamim v'naharot, to include mountains, you can't worship mountains, and gavot is hills, and yamim is seas, and naharot is rivers, afikim is little streams, v'giot is valleys, and then the pasuk says, mitachat, not just the earth, but under, l'rabot, and that includes shilshul katan, a little worm. So it's a sort of answer to say, don't worry about the fact that the Gemara doesn't mention little worm. Little worm is covered elsewhere. So we're sticking to the view that the second commandment prohibits serving these things, but doesn't prohibit making images of these things. But then the Gemara says, "Va'asiya geredata mishari," making alone as opposed to serving, who permitted? V'hatanya, we've learned another brisa which says, "Lo ta'asun iti, lo ta'asun kedemut shimshayam shamshim lefanai." Don't make with me. The brisa says explicitly, "Don't make images of my servants that serve me." Kegon chama v'levana kochavim mazalot, like the sun and the moon and stars and the planets. And so this is a slam dunk. This is a brisa which says explicitly you can't make pictures of the moon. So we're back to question Rabbi Gamliel. Shani Rabbi Gamliel. And the answer is Rabbi Gamliel's different. The law doesn't apply to him. Da acherim asulo. Well, sorry, in his case, other people, non-Jews, made the pictures for him. So the prohibition is about a Jew making the pictures. But if a non-Jew makes the pictures, that's fine. A Jew can use them. Hold on. V'harav Yehuda, da'acherim asulo. We have another case. We have Rabbi Yehuda. Not Rabbi Gamliel, but the halacha is consistent. So we can see what happened to Rabbi Yehuda and then challenge Rabbi Gamliel. Rabbi Yehuda had something which other people made for him. V'amalei Shmuel Rabbi Yehuda. And Shmuel said to Rabbi Yehuda, Shinana, that's how he referred to Rabbi Yehuda, his Talmud. He called him, "You sharp one." Sami Einei Didan, remove the eyes of that. In other words, deface it. Now, what we're talking about was a signet ring. So he had a signet ring with a picture on it. And it was made by non-Jews. And nevertheless, Shmuel said, "You've got to deface it." And what that was it was chotmo bolet hava. It was a signet ring where the image on the ring was embossed as opposed to engraved. It was like projecting outwards. So then when you dip the signet ring in the wax, you get an imprint which is engraved in the wax. So again, the ring is embossed, so the image it makes is engraved. And that was what Rabbi Yehuda had on his ring, on his finger. And that's what Shmuel told him to remove, to deface. So the answer is, it wasn't intrinsically a problem. It was a chotem bolet. It was an embossed one. Have umishum chashta. And Shmuel told him to deface it, not because it was intrinsically wrong, but because of a suspicion. There's a suspicion that other people would think that he had made it and he was transgressing the commandment. As we learn, Kedetanya, we learn in a brighter the following. Taba'at chotmo bolet. If you have a ring where the seal is embossed, pointing, sticking outwards, asur lahanicha, it's forbidden to put it on your finger. Umutar lichtombo, but it is permitted to seal with the wax in it. Why? Because you're making an engraved picture and that is okay. However, the other way round, if it is a chotem shokea, if the signet ring is engraved, mutar lahalicha, that's okay to have on your finger, va'asur lachtombo, and it's forbidden to seal with it, because then if you put the engraved image into the wax, what will you get? You'll get an embossed image in the wax, a 3D image pointing outwards in the wax, and that is no good. So it's not intrinsically wrong, it's just a chashad, it's just a fear. But then we say, umi chashino lachashta, do we worry about a fear, a concern that people might think that he's made it when other people, really when other people have made it? Vaha, we have, behold, hahi be kanishta, the shaf v'yativ. There was a shul in a place called Shaf v'yativ, b'nahardea, in Nahardea, Tahavebo Andarta. And there was a great big statue there. Rashi says it was a statue of the king. Vahavo ile Ravu Shmol, Vahavur de Shmol, Vilevi, and all these great Amoraim would go into this shul, Rav and Shmol, and the father of Shmol and Levi, Umatzlu Hatam, and they davened there. Velochai Shila Chashta, and they didn't worry about fear that people will think that they've made the statue. So it seems that we have a problem here. We're trying to justify Rabban Gamliel by saying other people made the pictures of the moon for him. And then we say, but if other people make the pictures of the moon for him, we learn from the story of Rav Shmuel, but that's still a problem, because Rav Shmuel's ring was a problem in the eyes of Shmuel. Then we say, sorry, Rav Yehuda's ring, I'm sorry. And then we say, no, it wasn't intrinsically a problem, it was just a concern. It was just a chashad, it was just a suspicion, but it wasn't intrinsically wrong. But that won't work, because we have this shul in Nahardiya, which had a great big statue, and people davened there. So we see that it's not a problem of chashta, of suspicion. But then the Gemara says, that's not a fair comparison, because Rabim Shani, if there's a lot of people there in the shul, that's different. If there's a lot of people gathered in the shul, enough people will know that other people made, that non-Jews made the statue, and they won't have a chashash. Now, so we've learned that if you have pictures, then there is a concern, there's a chashad, but that's okay if there's a lot of people. But then we go back to Rabbi Gamliel. Ha, Rabbi Gamliel, yachidhu. Rabbi Gamliel was on his own. So how can he have the pictures? Why isn't that a chashash, a concern? Kevan de nasihu, shechichi rabim gabei. The answer is, since he was the nasi, he was the president of the court, there were going to be lots of people with him. So he's like Barabim. He's like a place in where there's lots of people, and therefore you don't have to be worried about chashta, about suspicion. Therefore, he could have the pictures which non-Jews had made for him. That's the first answer. The Gemara brings two more answers. And the second answer is this. Ibo Adema, you could say, the prakim have it. His pictures were in sections. You could disassemble them. There wasn't a single one thing, one single unit. There were different units stuck together, and apparently that would make it okay. Vibayatema, another answer, Lihitla made Avad. They were made specifically so he could learn about them. And here, well, I'll just finish off because it says for Kativ, Lo till made la asot. The Pasuk says, do not learn from your non-Jewish neighbours to do like them, i.e. to serve idols. Aval atalamad lahavin ulaharot. But you can learn from your non-Jewish neighbours about idolatry in order to understand and in order to teach about the evils of idolatry. So therefore, even though we've seen a number of aspects of the problem of making images of the moon, if Rabbi Gamliel was doing it just to learn about the moon and learn about idolatry and to teach the witnesses, that would be okay. And with that, we reach the Mishnah at the bottom of Kaf Dalet Omad Bet, and we conclude the shiur.